Om Namah Shivaya. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Divine Discourse. In this, you are about to listen Highlights of Upanishads. The title is Brihadaranyaka Upanishads, presented by Swami Jyotir Mayananda. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
Tadahu Yad Brahma Vidyaya Sarvam Bhavishyanto Manushya Manyante Himu Tad Brahma Avet Yasmatat Sarvam Bhavaditi. This is the saying of the sages. If we were to attain Brahma Vidya, literal meaning is this way. They say, since people think that by the knowledge of Brahman, they become all. What did Brahman know by which it became all? Like a childish question. Tadahu, yad brahma vidyaya sarvam bhavishyanto manushya manyante himu tad brahma avet yasmat tat sarvam bhavatiti. Brahman alone was in the beginning. There was nothing else, describing like a history. The beginning implies transcending all. Just like you can say, any object, what was in the beginning? Atoms. And what is the beginning of the atoms? Energy. Beginning implies what underlies, what's the deepest core of things, not in the terms of time. It's an allegorical term. So what was in the beginning, the very substratum, the very basis, the source, the root, the heart? Brahman. And that Brahman is alone, absolute. It knew itself only as I am Brahman. Therefore it became all. A highly allegorical statement. That Brahman is all that is. So Brahman doesn't have to know anything other than itself. And moves on to Brahmava idamagre asit tad atmanam eva vet aham brahmasmi iti tasmat tat sarvam abhavat. Brahman alone was in the beginning. There was nothing else. It knew itself only as I am Brahman. The fact is, this is the reality. Brahman has nothing else to know. Every soul in reality is that Brahman. If you are in that real state, you have nothing else to know. But since you are not in that state, therefore the question of knowing, every individual has that urge to know. Knowing is of two types. Knowing in the process of becoming. Knowing in the terms of being. Let me explain that point. From practical point of view, as your knowledge expands, the more you know, the more you are able to have money, power, what people call success. All depends upon your education. Your ability to know more and more. But all this knowledge, knowing simply makes you move from one condition to another. If you are poor, you become rich. Becomings. But becomings are all in the world of illusion. At the deepest source within yourself, you are Brahman, the Absolute. The Absolute doesn't have to become anything else for easy understanding. Think of the sun. Sun doesn't have to become. It doesn't have to become a reflection. It doesn't have to shine here, shine there. Sun is all being. But reflected sun is constantly in the process of becoming. A sun reflecting in a jar. Look into it. And it's not shining better. because the water is muddy. Remove a little mud, that sun has become little better. Shake the water and the sun begins to shake. Calm the water, the sun has become quiet. So the reflected sun is in the world of becomings. And the world of becomings is vast. Anadi anant, beginningless, endless. But while all this goes on to the reflected sun, the real sun, what is happening to it? It's not becoming, it's just the same. Allegorical way of understanding. Pure consciousness within you, the I am, that I am is absolutely not involved in any change. It is ever the same. Problems are in and through the mind. As long as you are gripped by the mind, you are always in a process of becoming. With enlightenment, your movement transcends the mind. Or in another way, your mind becomes like a cloud saturated with light. That's the state of Jivan Mukta. Mind is there, it's working, but saturated with light. That means it is just dwindling away until it simply vanishes. And when mind has vanished, when a cloud has vanished, the sun alone is there. When it was vanishing, it was the sun that is playing through that cloud. That sun is I am. I am Brahman means that sun state of revelation. Thus this Upanishad gives, Vridharanyaka Upanishad, gives the great utterance called Aham Brahmasmi. And to give you further detail, four great utterances are there called Mahavakyas. They are the essence of all the scriptures. First great Mahavakya comes from Rig Veda. The Upanishad based on Rig Veda is Aitareya Upanishad. It is Prajnanam Brahma. It defines what is the absolute self. Prajnanam, pure consciousness, absolute consciousness is the absolute reality. It's not consciousness of countless things, but consciousness that is of itself, a vision that is infinite without having any object to view. All these are again allegorical. Consciousness is such a simple thing and it is very difficult to understand. You see the miracle of consciousness in your dream. All your dream is like reflections in the lake of consciousness. Your consciousness is like a lake. All the dreams were reflections. And the dreams didn't change your consciousness. It remains the same. Reflections do not change the lake. Reflections of your face don't change the mirror. Consciousness is like mirror-like, lake-like, from allegorical point of view. That consciousness is what you are. And that is immutable, unchangeable, absolute, eternal, transcendental. But all that you experience through your mind, intellect, ego, senses, through your body, all that you experience is reflections. They are Brahman, pure consciousness, expressing in the realm of Maya, a realm of magic. Therefore, the first great utterance, Prajnanam Brahma. Brahman is pure, absolute, indivisible, immutable awareness. Now, the next Mahavakya comes in Chandogya Upanishad. Tattvam Asi. It relates to Samaveda. It's called Upadesha Vakya. The first one is called Swarupa Bodha Vakya. The utterance that gives you insight into your essential nature. It defines your essential nature. Tattvamasi is Upadesha Vakya. Upadesha means instruction. The Guru initiates the aspirant into this great utterance. Tattvam Asi. You are that absolute self. But it is done, Tattvam Asi implies you and God are one. God who created the whole world. And you who grow in with this body, having the body, mind, intellect. You and God are one and the same. In order to understand that unity, you have to allow your mind to understand the illusion about your body-mind complex. You, void of body-mind complex, and God void of Maya and all the creation. You and God are therefore equal. It's a big algebra problem. You are equal to God. But what are the you? Brahman, qualified by avidya, ignorance, and Brahman reflecting in the ignorance. These three together go to form the jiva. Brahman, qualified by maya, reflecting in maya. These three together go to form God, Ishwara. Of these two statements, Brahman is invariable. The variables have to be negated. Then Brahman is Brahman. All that mathematics you don't have to go through, but just one to have a subtle insight. Then when we say you are God, it shouldn't be taken literally. No one can be God. But if you move away from your body identity, mind identity, ego identity, then you begin to understand also the whole creation, the reality behind the creation is same Brahman that you are beyond your mind, body, intellect and senses. This great utterance, Tattvamasi. When the initiation is given in Tattvamasi, an aspirant does not practice Tattvamasi literally. When Guru has said to the disciple, Tattvamasi, disciple doesn't start saying, Tattvamasi, Tattvamasi. He will be insulting the Guru. I'm joking. But disciple says, Aham Brahmasmi. This Aham within me, the I am. That's the absolute, non-dual, nothing else exists. Imagine. The entire dream you go through and wake up, nothing else but you were the reality in the entire dream. But waking up from a dream is simple matter. Here is a mystical waking up. And that's the purpose of existence. To enable yourself to wake up. And that waking up is a process of allowing the mind to go through purification, removal of mala, gross impurities, then removal of vikshepa, distractions, removal of avarana, veil, for easy understanding. A simple illustration I give is, attaining liberation is like seeing your face in a mirror. Your face, pure consciousness. Mirror is your mind. Now, in order to see yourself as you are in the mirror of your mind, three obstacles have to be removed. If the mirror has mud on it, you can't see yourself. Or if even whatever you see is your, it becomes refracted image of yourself. as long as mind is gripped by anger, hate, greed. You live with a mind that holds on to these as the fabric of its reality. So long, you are far from yourself. You are constantly seeing in that mirror a refracted image of yourself. Removing of mala is done by getting involved with karma yoga. And that's a big field. Serve, love, expansion, works that purify your heart. The next obstacle that comes is vikshepa. Vikshepa is like if you are holding the mirror and you are seeing your face. You have somehow removed the mala to a certain extent. But your hand begins to shake. Because you are not sure what you are going to see dramatizing. If there is shaking in the mirror, you can't see yourself. So the next obstacle to be removed is vikshepa, distractions of your mind. And distractions are not just conscious impediment, they are subconscious, they are subtle vasanas. You have to be very patient when you work with changing the vasana, because it is not in your view. And yet when you do sadhana, your vasanas begin to change in a positive way. You develop a sense of faith-based strength. And you continue your sadhana no matter how things happen, according to your capacity. Satsanga, japa, meditation, being good to others, all this is a part of sadhana. Even facing your life and its challenges with patience, all that is sadhana. Sadhana goes on changing your unconscious, the vasanas. Now the shaking movement is stopping. Third obstacle, suppose you have cleaned the mirror, the hand that holds it is steady, but suppose your hairs come streaming down on your eyes. Third obstacle. Called avarna. That's called ignorance. But removing of ignorance is very easy. Just shake your hand and head a little and hairs move away. When you have come to removing mala and vikshepa, avarna is a simple matter. That's called ajnan, ignorance. And it's removed by knowledge. And then there is a revelation. I am Atma Brahman. When you see yourself in the mirror of purified mind, there is a revelation. I am the Absolute. This fourth utterance, I am Atma Brahman, comes from Mandukya Upanishad of the Atharva Veda, called Anubhava Bodha Vakya, a statement of experience. Among gods, those who realized this became Brahman. Likewise, among rishis and men, all these are allegorical writings, people who have already advanced the state, more divine qualities, they are like gods. And with realization, they become Brahman. Their individuality dissolves. Likewise, yogis, rishis, all aspirants, human beings, whoever realizes I am Brahman, whoever pursues this process of inquiry into who am I and ascends those steps of wisdom, he or she becomes Brahman. Soul is Brahman. I am Atma Brahman. This self is Brahman. And that's the reality for all individuals. It was declared by the sage Vamadeva, while still within the womb, I knew all the births of gods. 100 iron folds held me down. I burst through them with the speed of a hawk. Thus spoke Vamadeva even while lying in the mother's womb. Statement from Aitareya Upanishad. And Brihadaranyaka Upanishad refers to it. That Rishi Vamadeva, even in his mother's womb, even prior to his birth, all this becomes surprising. But in Hindu culture it is not. Because souls are coming with knowledge from the previous life. Soul that is enlightened, just because of some little obstacle, couldn't attain liberation in the previous birth. All that was needed to move through another embodiment. But the very process of entering into another embodiment removed the obstacle. Vamadeva became fully realized even in the mother's womb. And the realization has its own radiation. As if there is a declaration from the mother's womb. And what was the declaration? I knew all the births of gods, implying I am the source of all godly forces. I am God of gods. I am Satchidananda. 100 iron holes held me down, but through the process of embodiment, 100 fetters had captured me. You are like a lion of lions captured by cages. But because of his sadhana in his previous birth, because of his practice of vichar, he broke through them with the speed of a hawk. I became a sun god, I became Manu, I became all. That was the great declaration. In the same way, whoever knows today I am Brahman, he becomes all. So don't let this story stick with Vamadeva. Let it be yours as well.
Swamiji, thank you. I've heard you say before that Sita represents Maya Shakti.
Yes.
And then I've heard you say that she represents intuitive intellect.
Correct. All in different contexts. All these descriptions, when they give allegorical meaning, they are not consistent. They all depend upon certain context. When Rama, Lakshmana and Sita were moving on the path, they are described as Rama is Brahman, Sita is Maya Shakti behind him, and Lakshmana represents like a Jiva. But broader understanding, Sita plays the role of Viveka Buddhi. Rama has to attain Sita by destroying Ravana. Rama and Sita are married. Soul and your intellect are wedded. But the wedding is in trouble. The ten-headed monster, ignorance, avarna, with ten-headed vikshepa, and with lots of demoniac power, mala, has gripped the intellect. Purpose of your soul is to wage a war. The soul's resources are only monkeys and bears. Monkeys are senses. Bears are unconscious energies hidden within your mind. Spiritual self-effort is organizing the energy operating at the senses, operating at the unconscious. All these energies are integrated. So soul within you has to integrate that energy. Cross over the bridge, cross over the ocean. There is a distance between, the gulf between conscious and unconscious. Cross over that gulf, impact upon the unconscious in such a way that you destroy vikshepa, avarana. Then Sita emerges out of fire, the fire of knowledge. and unites with Rama. But now this union becomes eternal. And then in that eternal union, Sita is never separate. Rama alone is. So that's the allegorical expression through the scripture. The profound philosophy is given to the masses. Just like difficult medicines are sugar-coated and given to people with praiseworthy advertisements.
So these organizing energies, the bears, like the bridge.
Don't get too. The organization implies controlling the mind and senses. Meditation and clearing the unconscious, that's bears, energies that are hibernating within you, you don't know them. Those are awakened. So in other words, when you are succeeding in asana, pranayama, pratyahar, meditation, automatically your personality is getting integrated. Therefore, automatically an internal change occurs. And there is no war sound, nothing like that, nothing to call it dirt. When the sun begins to rise, you can always describe it as a terrible battle comes. The forces of light are coming, 1,000 forces of darkness, and they are staring at the sun from countless sources. You can describe it. But the reality is just spontaneous.
One more question. In what section of the Ramayana does Hanuman say those three statements?
That again, Ramayana is of different types. It is Adhyatma Ramayana, and somewhere in Lanka Kand or Uttar Kand, that doesn't make much difference.
Thank you.
Namaste Swami. In that metaphor that you teaches us over and over again of the idea of the mind being like that ocean of consciousness and the self being that, are there still clouds of thoughts, or there none, or is just the idea that we don't attach ourselves to the clouds, and it's just they're part of the sky, they're part of the scope of who we are, but we don't fix ourselves into those clouds?
You have to, different similes are given, and you have to understand in what context. When you say ocean, ocean is not the mind. Ocean is pure conscious. Brahman. Brahman is described as the ocean. And when you are talking about thoughts, imaginations, etc., they relate to clouds. Jiva, soul within you, is like the sky, essentially. But an allegorical description is given. Look at a patch of blue. The sky is a little hole, and clouds have created a patch of blue. Tell me, what is the patch of blue? It's the sky. But in appearance, the patch of blue is subjected to those clouds that are circling it. The patch of blue can expand, it can contract, it can go through lots of miseries, but all these are not real, they are appearance. All human miseries, etc., they are appearances. In dream, you go through lots of miseries. In what category are they? They are appearances. So from broader point of view, from philosophical high point of view, all human miseries, they are so intense, etc. But ultimately, they all pass on. Your soul moves from body to body. All these miseries relate to mind and nervous system. When you are in deep sleep, you go beyond all these. Through enlightenment, you come to a state of being rooted in that type of consciousness. That's always like in deep sleep. That cannot be ruffled. In the beginning, you create faith. That no matter how I go through, somewhere I'm quite safe. With God, I'm quite safe. Hold on to this. This opens up and leads you to a real realization. The patch of blue freed of clouds is nothing but the sky. And once the patch of blue has known I am the sky, its troubles are over. Though apparently its troubles will be there. The clouds will go on creating its problems. But the patch of blue is not confined to its apparent status. It's the sky. And that aspect exists in human being in different levels. Sometimes a person has acquired something and is so happy. You are a scientist, you have resolved certain problem, your mind is exceedingly happy. At that time, many things that are not there ordinarily considered adversity. You may not get the right type of food. You may not have a right type of bed to lie upon. You may not have right type of people to speak good words. All these matter nothing. Because the mind is working in a different level. It's not very difficult to understand. Life presents to you. Implying that there is that potentiality in an individual to transcend all these limitations if there is an internal joy, if there is an internal fulfillment and you become aware of it, no matter, even if you are aware of a little of it, to that extent you don't mind your external adversities. At the same time you have also the possibility of changing the external for positive. That becomes the purushartha, self-effort in every individual. You are always placed in a world that is unknown, mysterious. But through your self-effort, you create your comfortable status. If the self-effort becomes more and more in line with the scriptural teachings, then it joins with God's grace. Your effort is not constantly sustained by mental turmoil, worries, anxieties. Your effort is sustained by a divine spontaneity. All this is that you work for. It doesn't come to you immediately. Sadhana is never a simple process. Estoy luchando. Life is better. Yes.
In that process of estoy luchando, in the sadhana got warmer, I've experienced that there is a greater or perhaps apparent separation from family, friends. Like people begin to fade away. They seem not to
That's correct. That's correct.
The
there comes a need of adaptability. Inwardly, you are free. Inwardly, you are not responsible for anybody else. Everybody is responsible for themselves. But in your day-to-day dealings with people, you do not make any difference. Internally, you go on detaching. Also, you must understand, if you are detaching, you are also attaching to the deeper value in people. God is in everybody. In sadhana, you have different levels. Early level is focused on simply detach from all these useless people. Go a little higher. No, all these people are needed for your enrichment. Recognize God in them. You need even inimical people, people who put you into tests. Trials, all types of people, inimical, friendly, all people are different situations. They have all their purpose. So while dealing with them, your mind goes on moving towards God, giving me the opportunity, God responding to me, because who else is there? But all this has to be attained in a gradual process. Okay.
Thank you, sir.